Our message today is entitled, Just You Wait, and it is based on the second reading that Luke shared with us from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. As many of you know, waiting can be a very difficult thing to do. It's difficult when we're waiting for something bad to happen to us. Right, Bill? When I'm teeing off and you're hoping it stays in the fairway. Or it can be very difficult to wait for something that makes us joyful. When the children of my generation and older did something bad, we always had a threat from our mothers. And Gary, I think you probably remember these. Just wait until your father gets home from work. Many is the time that I had that phrase shared with me by my mother. And that was enough to instill fear in my heart, and probably in yours too, and make those next couple of hours a very slow and difficult time, waiting for something that we didn't want to happen. But there are times also when we're waiting, and we're waiting for things that are good. Time seems to slow down and stops when we're waiting for Christmas, or perhaps a birthday, or some other celebration to come. We're filled with joy and anticipation. We're excited about those times. We just couldn't wait for those things which we wanted to happen to us. Well, the season of Easter. Easter is also a time of waiting. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ caused waiting for the disciples and also for us. Some of it is bad waiting, and some of it is good waiting, but all of it can be difficult waiting. When the reports came from the women that Jesus was not dead but alive, think back about how did the disciples react? And Angela shared that with us this morning too. They reacted in fear. Why? I think they were waiting for something bad to happen. How do we know that? Well, where were they? They had locked themselves in the upper room because they feared that the Jewish leaders were going to do to them what they had also done to Jesus, that they might be persecuted and also executed the same as Jesus had been. But when Jesus came and he appeared to them in the midst of these disciples, as our gospel reading for today says, they feared that they were seeing a spirit or a ghost. And when Jesus showed that it was truly him, I can almost bet they were waiting to see what was going to happen to them. Why? Well, what had they done? They had deserted the Lord at a time of his need. And now he was alive. And he had come back. What was he going to do to them? Would he seek revenge? Would he hold them accountable for their unfaithfulness? Perhaps he might even reject them. My question for you this morning is, have you ever thought about that yourself? You know, when you and I, when we consider seriously our words and thoughts and deeds that are sinful, that those words, thoughts, and deeds were the same that nailed Jesus to the cross. That's a pretty scary thought. All the evil that we have done and all the good that we have failed to do might cause our Lord to not want to be a part of us. Would we want to face him when he comes back from the dead after all that we had done to disobey and to be unfaithful to him? Would we be waiting in fear and nervousness for him to confront us? Well, the good news for us today is we don't have to be that way. For as our Lord's resurrection from the dead brings all of that waiting to a happy end, both now for us and also for the disciples back then. The disciples were overjoyed to see Jesus alive because he had not been angry with them and he did not reject them that day. He did not come back to seek revenge or to inflict punishment. The resurrection of our Lord changed all that, all of us. Jesus came to love them and accept them, and he came bearing forgiveness and the promise of everlasting life. And he's also done that for you and me. That resurrection of our Lord changes everything for us too. We don't have to wait nervously. We don't have to see how God feels about us on the last day. We don't even have to wonder if Jesus' death on the cross was a failure or not. His resurrection out of that tomb really is what I would consider an exclamation point to the work that he did on that cross. It shows that our Lord's sacrifice for sin was sufficient, and our Lord and God has accepted us now. He's accepted you and me. We have forgiveness for all of our sins. It is sure and it is certain, and we are no longer enemies of God, but as our reading said today, we are the children of God. That's an interesting thought. Children of God. You know, there are times it sure doesn't feel that way. When we think about being a children of God, we're likely to think of sharing in his glory and being in his presence and dwelling in the place that he has prepared for us. But because of Jesus' resurrection, all that is coming, but it's not yet here. This is the good stuff. This is the good stuff that we as believers must wait for in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is hard. It is hard to wait for that to come. Well, why is that? Well, all you have to do is turn the television on or read the newspaper and you understand why. We are afflicted by many problems in this world. There are economic problems. There are political problems. We have social problems. There are disasters, natural disasters, and so on. It was kind of scary to turn on the news and find out that we had launched missiles into Syria. And the verbiage that was coming back from the Iranians and the Russians, was this the beginning of another world war? Could have been possible, but our Lord was in control. Again, we have these problems. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe that God has chosen us to be his children when we experience so much in the way of suffering. Sometimes there's not a whole lot of glory to witness or see in our own lives. And sometimes not only do we experience evil, but we also experience rejection. The world does not look at us in awe and reverence and say, "Oh, look, there's Pastor John Allman. He's a Christian. Isn't he a great guy?" And the answer oftentimes is no, that's not how the world looks at us. You know, today the world pretty much is rejecting Christianity and Christians more and more. Society really doesn't respect Christianity as it did in the past, nor do they admire faithful Christians as perhaps they once did. Instead, what does the world do? It ridicules our beliefs that we hold to as the truth of our faith, and they work very hard to oppose us in the things that we try to do. And so we might feel like we're wandering through the problems of life. And in addition to experiencing rejection and also persecution for our beliefs, that's also our status before God. We're called children of God. We end up where everyone else ends up, though, don't we? Our bodies age, they break down, and finally, they die. And we may ask ourselves, are we really children of God, or have we deluded ourselves into thinking that? And if we are his children, what good is it? Well, because of the resurrection of Jesus from a weak and dead body to a grand and glorious body, that changes for us also. The Apostle John, in his epistle for today, tells us that. He writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And then he says, "And so we are." John was amazed. He was amazed at the kind of love that our Lord has for us. Why? Because in love, the Father declared us to be his children. We don't always act like children of God. Oftentimes, we do feel like children of God. But we certainly don't deserve to be children of God. But that is precisely who we are. It doesn't matter how we act or how we feel or what we deserve. God, for Christ's sake, has declared us to be his children, and that's exactly who we are. We are loved, we are forgiven, and we are redeemed children of God. Well, if that's the case, then why aren't we getting respect and even the honor which children of God should get from those who are around us? Well, you know, when we think about earthly monarchs, kings, and so forth, they certainly are afforded royal treatment. You know, how much publicity do they get when we hear about a royal who's going to get married or they're going to have a child? But we don't get that kind of respect as children of God. But the world doesn't even know that we are children of God. And really, we shouldn't be surprised by that. St. John also wrote, "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." And that him is Jesus. The world didn't recognize and respect the Son of God when he came into the world. In fact, they persecuted and ultimately they executed him. But when we are faithful children of God, we can get the same kind of treatment that Jesus got. And we should expect that. We should expect not to be recognized. We should expect not to be respected, but persecuted and rejected. However, that kind of action, that kind of behavior doesn't disprove or void the declaration that God made for each and every one of us. We are God's children, no matter what the world thinks of us or does to us. We are God's children, no matter how we feel and no matter how we look. How the world thinks of us and treats us probably is not going to change. But we look and feel that change. Again, because of what Christ has done for us. John writes, "What we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is." I don't know about you, but that to me is pretty exciting. When Jesus comes again, we shall see him as he truly is, now in his resurrected and his glorified body. And not only that, but we shall see him like he is, be like him in our resurrected and glorified bodies. That promise comes to us again today from St. John's, from Philippians. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." We are going to have those same glorious bodies, doing what we see Jesus doing in his appearances before these people and his disciples. We will have a holy and mighty body, and we will be able to live forever just as he has. Talk about something that's going to be hard to wait for. You know, that might be the hardest thing that we ever have to wait for. So, in the meantime, how do we wait? How do we wait in our imperfect mortal bodies? Well, we are to lay our sins of thought, word, and deed in confession upon our spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Why? So that they can be washed clean by His precious blood. In light of who we are and what we are, we should not desire to keep on sinning. In fact, St. John tells us again, you know that He appeared to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. So we're not to continue to keep on sinning. The only way to do that, though, for us is through daily repentance, worked in us by the Holy Spirit of God through His Holy Word. And we cannot do it ourselves. We hold on to Christ in faith, seeking His life-giving Word and giving grace and grace-giving sacraments to deliver us from sin and its control. We have been cleansed. We have been cleansed by the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ in holy baptism and declared to be His child by the same righteousness of Christ. And we are to do that daily. We are to live in that righteousness, not only here in this church, but in our homes, with our families, in our schools, with our classmates, at our jobs, with our co-workers, and in our communities with our fellow citizens. You know, just you wait is not just a threat for Christians, but a glorious promise. We are now, by God's merciful declaration in Christ, things will be revealed to us that the whole world will be able to see when Christ comes again. And we've all been made new. We've all been made new in Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection from the tomb. And I pray that that will also be shown in the new glorified bodies when He returns. And He lives now as we live now and wait for His return to be fulfilled. You know, Easter is a time. It is a time to be remembered what God has done in Christ Jesus in raising Him from the dead. But it's also a time. It's a time for each one of us to look forward to what God will do for all of us, His children in Christ Jesus, in raising us from the dead and glorifying us and giving us eternal life. And I don't know about any of you, but I just can't wait. And in His precious and holy name, amen. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip each one of us with everything that is good, that we may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom we give glory and honor forever and ever. And God's people said, Amen.